Welcome to the 2019 ULI Belgium Annual Conference audio recording. ULI Belgium is pleased to introduce a special guest for a special interview. Rick Vandenberg, the CEO of Besix, joins us to our annual conference. We're trying to find out what really makes Besix and where his company is going in the future.
Rick, thank you so much for joining us. It's a great pleasure for us to have you here. And unlike the event you did last night at 10 p.m., we're starting a little bit earlier today, so that's good. Rick, many of the people in the room do know you already, but not everybody does. We know that you're chief executive of the Besix Group, but tell us a little bit about what you did before that. How did you come to where you are now?
As many of the people in the room, I did university studies in Leuven, Handels commercial engineer. I hesitated at 18 to become a pastry baker, I would say. So it was the big challenge. What will
what
I do?
What kind of pastry?
Oh, the very nice, sweet, good ones. So I decided 24 hours before opening of university that I would study. And then I started in a bank that was called at that moment Banque Bruxelles Lambert, BBL, Bank Brussels Lambert. And there I did a lot from really a branch to all kind of jobs. I started in real estate finance in the beginning of the 90s, 92, 93. And then at certain moments I got more responsibilities. I became CEO of ING in Luxembourg. Then I came back to Belgium, became CEO of ING in Belgium. And then more than 2 years ago now, I went to Besix.
So you avoided being a pastry chef. That was obviously an interesting choice. But you went very rapidly and successfully through banking and real estate to being really the chief executive of this amazing company. And you took over from Johan Belland, who'd been at Besix, as far as I can work out, 42 years when you took over from him. So what attracted you to the group, and what was the inheritance that you received there?
Yeah, so what attracted me to the group was that it is a fantastic group, active in 25 countries today, so very international group, with a very strong Belgian base. So it's one of the, as we call in French, fleurons of the Belgium industry. I know the company, as you have seen on the screen, in 2004, there was an MBO, management buyout, and I was at that side, at the bank side, doing the financing of this operation. So I know the company since then, and was always very close to this company, as I was to others, but especially also to this one. And one day around the glass at an aperitif, Johan Berland, who is who organized the MBO and was the CEO of that company, is an important shareholder of the company. He said to me, you know, I'm looking for a candidate because I will have 69, he's now 71, and I don't want to become the problem of my company. So I'm looking for candidates, and for the moment I didn't, with the headhunters, really find what I'm looking for. Why don't you do it? Don't you do it? I thought he was joking.
Very quick interview.
It was not. That was, and then, a couple of days later, everything was done.
So was that literally the interview? He said, why don't you do it? And you said, yes.
I didn't say immediately yes, because I thought he was joking. It was only the day after that I realized he was not joking, because he came back on it. And I spoke 5 minutes with my wife, and that was it, because I was always close to this type of business and to this type of company. So you do it or you don't do it, you know.
Have you stayed in contact with Johan, and does he give you any advice?
Yes, of course, because he's the chairman of the company. He's less present than a lot of people think he might have been, because he was very, very involved. It is his company. It still is his company, let's be clear. And some other shareholders, of course. But he's very... Sometimes I have to really try to get him, because he's always away. And I think since Easton, I saw him once. So just to indicate you. But we have a very good relation. We call whenever we want, day and night, if necessary. Yeah.
So I want to ask you in a minute how you are planning to develop the company and what your strategies are. But just for the sake of the audience in the room, give us a quick vital statistics of the range of products and activities in the range of markets. How do you see the company in terms of size and shape?
By size and shape, we have three activities. Contracting is the main activity, is the biggest ship. We have two other ships. It is the real estate development. So contracting 25 countries, five continents, in fact. Only a small part in the north of Americas, but for the rest, we are on all continents. And then real estate development, four countries today, Benelux and Lisbon, so Portugal. And then we have concessions and assets where we have water plants, waste to energy, tunnels, hotels, this type of assets that we often build and then also operate. So 15,000 people, more or less. This year, for last year, we did a turnover around 2.5, a bit more than 2.5 billion. This year we plan, because we did an important acquisition in Australia and the turnover is growing at the same time, we plan to be around 3.4 billion turnover.
Rick, how are you trying to develop the company then? If somebody said to you, what's the story of the next 5 years, what would you say?
I think one of the things that happened in the company is the growth was so fast between 2004 and when I arrived, you know, the turnover went times three from 800 million to 2.4 billion. There had been no time to structure certain things. So that's one of the first tasks I got from my chairman. He said we need now a bit more structure. So and of course we want to keep this entrepreneurship in the company. So we discussed together with the teams what is our real purpose. We didn't have a clear purpose. So the purpose is in the video, excel to create sustainable solutions for a better world. That is really what every day we strive to do for. And we have organized that around six strategic drivers. I will not go too much in detail, but one of them, for example, is openness to new ventures and projects. The DNA of Basics is a company that always has been very open to do things that others maybe might have find stupid in the beginning or crazy. Why did we go to the Middle East 60 years ago now? There was only sand at that moment. Nobody believed in it. Today it's our second home market. It's a very important market for Basics. Why do we enter, like we did now last year, in Flamand or LN24? Because we want to diversify. And let's see what happens. We will be. This is the DNA. So we have six strategic drivers. Another one is being a leader in open innovation. Also there, we want to be front runner. We are doing things that again maybe others will say this is too early stage. But we want to be there and try to be in the driving seat. So that's an important one. To put a bit more structure also. We try to find the balance between the risk taking we do because we have very important tenders. And one of the most important ones now is going on since 2 years, is the new highest tower in the world in Dubai. You know, it's not only about price, but it's also about the risk you want to take on it. We do it together with a partner, with Acom Tishman, in fact. 50-50, we have one competitor, is China State Construct, so the biggest contractor in the world. But we have the expertise, the competence, but at the same time, we need not to be too enthusiastic, but we need to measure and not put our company in a problem. So we push entrepreneurship, and at the same time, a third one is diversification. We have three pillars, as I said. We would love to have a fourth pillar. I don't know what it will be. Will it be close to our business, or will it be completely different? Look at what Bouygues did. They went in media, they went in telecom. Will we do something similar? I don't know today, but we are open to look at that. We were dreaming of a third home market. We have two, Benelux, Middle East. Will it be Australia, where we did this big acquisition last year, end of last year? Maybe, but I cannot tell that. The third home market takes years to get there. So there's a lot going on, diversification. We have a clear plan, a clear vision, a clear ambition. We don't go after turnover, but we go after where we can make the difference. And that's important. Basics, and then I will stop on that. Basics, the big differentiating factor of Basics is the fact that we have capabilities in-house. We have a very huge, important in-house engineering department where we can tackle projects that maybe some other groups cannot tackle. And on top, we are very flexible.
So this engineering department is quite dexterous. It works on all sorts of challenges in all sorts of parts of the world.
Yes, indeed. So I always say that the more complex the project is, the better our chances to bring value to the project, because there it starts. And if you can bring value by value engineering, you bring something to the client, and so he's more attracted to work with you than with someone else.
Rick, I'm going to ask you one more question. I want to talk to you about talent, Rick. A company of this scale, diversifying and growing at this speed, operating in this number of markets, has to have a special promise if it's going to attract and retain talent. How is the talent attraction going for Bessix, and what is either the challenge or what's really making it work?
First of all, I would say on talent, it's probably the biggest challenge that I have on my list as CEO. That is to attract talent, to maintain talent, to retain talent, to develop talent. I have, for the first time in the history of Bessix, the CEO has also some targets, I would say, individual targets discussed with the board. And the first one is on talent. So your question is spot on, I would say. So talent, succession planning, all these kind of things, very, very important. I think we have a very, very strong brand. We have opportunities that we can give to people that come to work in our company, because in Belgium, for example, there is not so many companies in our sector, I would say, anyhow, where you have this type of opportunities, where you are 1 year in the company and you are responsible for a big project in Denmark, for example, as I recently saw a young lady having a part of responsibility of a big, big, big project in Denmark. So this type of things we can offer to people. We have a program, and one of the six drivers I was referring to is to really stay or become and remain a great place to work. So we do a lot on that. We have a people strategy where we work around all these kind of topics, where one of the most important things is to give a lot of responsibility to the people, so that we push people to take responsibility and also to be very, very creative. I mentioned this DNA of being open to new projects, ideas. People know in our company they can come with ideas, and we push them to come with ideas, to take responsibility and give them freedom to work on it. So I think that's one of the examples. Of course, we do trainings. We have all kind of programs to support people. But I think, what you can do at Bessix is unique. To be part of this company, and if you don't like it, I always say to people, if they don't like it, it happens. Mm-hmm. It's rather exceptional. But then I suggest that they look for another job in the company if they're unhappy, because sometimes you're not on the right place, or even to go somewhere else, because we need people that really, we want people, we do everything to have people that come with passion to the job every day.
Great. Been a great pleasure to have you here with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Rick van den Berg.
We hope you enjoyed the ULI Belgium audio recording. If you want to know more about the activities of ULI Belgium, please go to belgium.uli.org.